Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
6:14, let's start with the weather. 100% chance for showers today. It's going to start, it's going to stop, it's going to start, it's going to stop. Hopefully it won't train or build up, park. The showers won't park over any one area and cause any street flooding or anything like that. 40% chance for showers tomorrow, 30% on Mother's Day. And then a little cool front comes through, going to knock the highs down to 79 on Monday. But get ready, because the first 90 of the year is forecast for Thursday, first high temperature of 90 degrees. I was saying earlier, there's something, and I don't know what it is, but there's something about the election of a new pope. I don't know if it's tradition. I don't know if it's about hope. I don't know if it's about change. I don't know if it's about a yearning by people in the world for some kind of leadership, some kind of righting of the ship. But there's something about the election of a new pope that just kind of galvanizes the world and all the TV networks and reporters and everything else. Of course, as I said, that being said, there are those that think the Catholic Church is a Satanist organization, and that's fine. You can believe what you want. This is America. But I just would ask you that at 504-260-1870, do you find it to be a positive kind of thing, and that it elevates the mood of the world whenever a new pope is elected? Bruce Morrill joins us now, distinguished professor of theology at Vanderbilt University, holds the Edward A. Malloy Chair in Roman Catholic Studies, also a Jesuit priest. Good morning, Father Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Good to be with you.
I know you're holding the chair. You can go ahead and put it down for now, because I don't want you to get tired.
It's actually a rocking chair.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, there you go. That's good. Let's talk about what I was saying culturally before we get into the Pope itself. Do you agree with me? Is there something that seems to elevate the world whenever there's the election of a new pope? I don't know if it's the promise of hope or somehow we're looking for leadership. We all know that maybe we're not doing the right thing or what we're supposed to be doing, and that maybe we'll get on the right track. What are your thoughts on that, Father?
I think your thoughts are right on target. I myself have marveled at how much attention is drawn to the election of a pope, and especially yesterday, his appearance on the balcony. Granted, it's largely the faithful in the city of Rome and people traveling, but still, it's about a hopefulness. I think true to Christianity and Catholicism as part of Christianity, an exuding of a belief that God is close to us in our human and our worldly condition, and people just revel in being once again reminded of that.
Now, you know, there are different, you know, Protestant Reformation, I don't need to go into history, all of that, but there are different theologies, there are different thoughts about Christianity, etc. But when it comes to something like this, does the Pope transcend all of that, and does he, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, rise above the partisan differences and just maybe is a direct link between people and God, and they feel as though, you know what, maybe we got it right, maybe we got it wrong, but this is maybe a representation of God that we can actually look to?
Yes, I think the important thing there is for Christians across, many Christians across different denominations, representation of God was your phrase. I think a better way to put it even is a minister or someone who's serving, because ministry is really about service, who's ministering the presence and the love of God to others. Now, historically, as you mentioned, the papacy hasn't always been so open to broader Christian communions, the Reformation, et cetera. But it's been a characteristic of the papacies now for at least 55 to 60 years. And I was amazed when Pope Francis was early in office here in Nashville. I was invited to give a talk and a panel at a nearby Church of Christ University, Lipscomb. And before it started, a lady in her middle age trotted up to me and with great enthusiasm grasped my hand and said, "Don't you just love our Pope Francis?" And I think it's a good little anecdote that describes how the papacy, and especially an attractive pastoral pope, can raise up everybody's faith, hope, and love.
Let's talk about the differences in orders and priests. And well, let me take a step back first, Father Bruce. Cardinal Prevost was appointed by Pope Francis, or made cardinal by Pope Francis. So I presume we could think that he has the imprimatur of the late Pope Francis to be the new pope?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. And then moving along, let's talk about the differences. You're a Jesuit. He's an Augustinian. For people that don't understand that all priests are not the same, explain the difference in the orders, please, and how that all works in the Catholic Church.
Sure. The first distinction that might help people to know is that most priests, when they see priests or parish priests, that they don't belong to a religious order, but rather they're vowed in obedience to a local bishop, and they work as individuals for that bishop. Whereas religious order people like myself, a Jesuit, Prevost, Pope Leo, Augustinian, we enter what are called religious orders or congregations, and we live a communal life. We profess vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience, and we live in community, and all of what we have, we share with one another. So the obedience also is more than the other men who simply are obedient to their bishop for mission purposes. For us, the obedience has to do with all dimensions of our life, and we feel very responsible to one another.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to our friend, Father Bruce Morrill, Distinguished Professor of Theology at Vanderbilt University, holds the Edward A. Malloy Rocking Chair in Roman Catholic Studies, a Jesuit priest. We're talking about Pope Leo XIV. We're going to continue the conversation when we come back. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Oquinart Jeweler text me line. Somebody texted in and said, if nothing else, it's nice to turn on the national news and hear him discussing theology and Jesus' love. Agree with that. Somebody else said, new pope is proof God loves us and wants us to be better people. Somebody else said, the election of a pope, religious politics. I don't know what that means, but I do want to ask Father Morrill when we come back about what it says about an American pope, and social media was a buzz with the difference between this pope and being from America, President Trump, what the Cardinal Prevost, before he became pope, said about J.D. Vance on Twitter, et cetera, about the politics behind all of this. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Father Bruce Morrill, Distinguished Professor of Theology at Vanderbilt University, holds the Edward A. Malloy Chair in Roman Catholic Studies, a Jesuit priest. Father Bruce, somebody texted me yesterday, and it was a long text, but basically the gist of it was they said they think the College of Cardinals was basically sending a message saying the U.S. has lost its way with immigration and some other things, and that the election of an American pope was a way to kind of address that. Thoughts on any of that or not?
Only thought I'd give it is more or less dismissal.
Okay.
I think it's better to recognize that they are looking at a global world and a global church. And while they would not be at all indifferent to issues, and an extremely important one is migration, refugees, et cetera, the calculation on electing the pope is not reduced to that kind of political strategy.
So when it comes to how likely the church is going to either change or what it's going to be like under Pope Leo, what are your thoughts on that, Father?
Well, I have to confess, I can only go with what I've been studying online and all these different sources, mm-hmm. but I think it's fair to say a couple things. Number one, it's extremely obvious that he's very much going to continue all the main emphases of Pope Francis, but I think he'll also continue in the vein of Pope Francis, who, while his efforts were to make for a more pastoral, sensitive, and listening church, and one that takes consideration of people's concrete, complex circumstances. He's not someone, it seems, who's going to be advancing agendas to make significant changes in church order, structure, and teaching.
What about, the church has had problems with priests, and we have a bankruptcy thing going on here in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. What about Pope Leo's history when it comes to handling the scandal or settling with victims? It would seem to me, and I'm a lapsed Catholic father. I guess I'm kind of like the Kendry Miller. That's a Saints reference of Catholics. I'm available for practice. I just never make the games on Sunday. When it comes to, I think what would make me feel better as a Catholic is if the Pope issued a decree and said, look, we're going to find out who the bad guys are. We're going to get rid of them. We're going to find out who the victims are. We're going to compensate it. We're going to put this behind us. We're going to have transparency. We're going to move on. The likelihood of anything like that happening?
Well, I think the difficulty there is that the image would be that this is international corporation that can operate somehow in such a top-down way. Yes, I hear what you're saying. Much more could be done on the part of the commission that Francis set up to oversee this disaster and to try to right it, correct it. On the other hand, dioceses are actually distinct entities under bishops who are the corporation's soul for each of them. Technically, like in the U.S., that would be the language. And then you've got to have direction given to those bishops to improve their policies and their procedures. And I think it is fair to say that progress has been made, but not achieved.
We got to go, Father. We're out of time. But could the Pope do that? Does he have the power to say, okay, that's it. Here we go. Let's clean this up once and for all?
Well, I think clean it up once for all would be he would strengthen that commission and put his imprimatur on it and work for whatever that commission is, which is laymen and women and priests and bishops, strengthen the process.
Thank you, Father. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU baseball. We come back right now in time for WWL First News. 6:47, 13-7 now. Tommy Tucker, WWL, is going to rain today. 100% chance for showers. Going to start, going to stop. Hopefully won't park over one area for so long. 40% chance for showers tomorrow. 30% on Mother's Day. Cools off next week for a little bit. And then the first 90-degree high temperature of the year on Thursday, according to Peyton Malone. LSU playing some baseball. Of course, WWL is your home for LSU baseball. Arkansas Razorbacks three-game series at the Box all starts tonight at 6:30, pregame 6 o'clock here on WWL. Streaming live on a free Odyssey app, game number 2, Saturday at 8:30, pregame at 5, game 3, Sunday at 3, pregame 2:30. Of course, that's all subject to the weather. And Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com, columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay. How does that, before we get into Arkansas and LSU, how does, or at least I guess it would be part and parcel of it, how does the weather change that? Because you got to manage pitching and doubleheaders
right.
Different than, what would ideally LSU like to see with the weather, in your opinion?
Well, what we've seen so far from LSU, they're fine playing games at 9, 9:30, 9:50 at night. I mean, they've shown that they can wait out these weather delays and finish games up during the middle of the night and win in dramatic fashion. So I would imagine they'll try to do everything possible to get the game in today. And if they got to wait it out till 10 o'clock, Jay Johnson doesn't have a problem with doing it. And he probably looks at it now as an advantage because his team is so used to it. You know, last weekend they had the rain delay, or actually had the postponement of Friday's game. And I think as the visiting team, you probably feel like you're a little bit out of control in the situation because the home team really has the, especially before the game starts, the home team has more of a say as far as exactly how you're going to handle a weather delay. And Texas A&M made the decision fairly early last Friday. Look, we're going to play a doubleheader on Saturday. We're not going to try to play tonight at 10 o'clock and then come back the next day at 2 in the afternoon because that's when the second game of the series was set to begin. So I think considering tomorrow or Saturday night's game is set to begin at 5:30, I think they're going to try to play tonight, and if it means a 9:30 pitch, then it means a 9:30 pitch. But let's hope, Tommy, that the rain moves out and they can get the game in, because it should be a terrific atmosphere at Alec Box Stadium, and that's the one thing that LSU loses when you have these games starting at 9:30 and 10 o'clock is that, yeah, you may have a few rowdy fans in the park because they've consumed a few cocktails, but you don't have the 12,000 fans there rocking and rolling, and that's what you're hoping to have here tonight for a big series for LSU.
So, to be clear, it is whose call on whether to play?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of obviously it's, you know, LSU will talk with Arkansas. They'll talk with the SEC. You got to make sure you get the network involved a little bit. But I think ultimately LSU has the final say on what to do here. It's their home game. They got to make the decision as far as, hey, can we get people here back the next day to work a doubleheader, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that is in LSU's control, but what we've seen so far from Jay Johnson and LSU is they just want to play one game a day. And even last week, Jay was urging Texas A&M to play earlier in the day on Friday to try to beat the rain. But I think last week's situation was there really wasn't a chance to play the game. Even if they played the game at 2, it probably would have gotten interrupted at about 3:30 by the storm. So there really wasn't a good option as far as when to play it. But again, I think they're going to try to play tonight. And if that means we're all up till 12:31 in the morning, and get the coffee or whatever you need to do to stay up and see if LSU can pull out game one.
Let me take a break. Jeff's got an article up at WWL.com and LSU-Arkansas series preview. We'll go through some of it when we come back. 6:51, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:56, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, got a piece up previewing the LSU-Arkansas series preview at WWL.com. Tell us a little bit about what it says there, Jeffrey. You there, Jeff? You got me muted? Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, you got me, Tommy?
Yeah, got you.
Yeah, this is a very good Arkansas team. You know, I've been doing these series previews every week during the season, and I think this is the toughest team LSU's played. And Texas is really good. Saw a good A&M team. Tennessee is talented. I just think what this team is able to do both offensively and then on the mound is very, very impressive. And it showed last week. They swept Texas. Nobody had really been able to touch Texas. They were running away with the conference championship in the regular season, and Arkansas swept them, and not only swept them, but won all three games in convincing fashion. And once again, LSU will face another difficult left-handed pitcher in Zach Root, who was fabulous last Friday, or actually Thursday. They played Thursday, Friday, Saturday last week. 8 shutout innings, allowed just 2 hits against Texas. Struck out a career-high 11. Now, his 2 previous starts to that, they weren't that great. So maybe he found something a little bit. And, in fact, Arkansas was struggling a little bit going into that Texas series. They had lost their 3 previous series, but then they figured it all out against Texas. And they come in as a very confident bunch. This is a team that also has had a lot of success against LSU here recently. They've won 4 of the last 5 series. The last time LSU won a series against Arkansas was their national championship year in 2023. And then last year, LSU was swept by Arkansas. But it's not just about the pitching. Arkansas has always got great pitching. Dave Van Horn is known for that. But it's the hitting that really jumps off the page. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got over 100 home runs, 102 home runs. They're close to breaking the single-season school record for most home runs in a season. And then they have 5 guys with 10 home runs or more. I mean, compare that to LSU, they only got 1 in Jared Jones. And then on top of all of it, Tommy, they're the top fielding percentage team in the SEC and one of the best in the country. So this is a team that in all 3 facets does it very, very well, and it will be a very difficult test for LSU.
All right, let's look ahead to the SEC tournament, look ahead to the regional, super regional. How does this series factor in all of that?
Well, you would love to take 2 out of 3 here, Tommy. Right now, LSU's got 15 wins, and I think the number that they're really searching for or chasing after is 19 wins. That would get them a top 8 national seed for sure. So you got to figure out a way to win 4 games over the next 2 weekends. You have a South Carolina team next week that has packed it in. They got crushed last night by Auburn like 22-2 or something. So they're done. So even if you only win one game this week, it's possible you could go and sweep over at South Carolina and get to that 19-win mark. But I just think for your psyche, I think you want to win this series. I thought it gave LSU a little bit of a mental boost when they beat Tennessee a couple weeks ago at home, and I think a series win over against a very good Razorbacks team will really help give this team even more confidence heading into postseason.
You think they play tonight or not?
I think they're playing tonight.
I hope so. Thank you, Jeff Palermo. We'll have all the action for you here on WWL, however long it takes. WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. We'll come back. We'll continue to talk about Pope Leo, our new pope, and we'll help you manage your money with Mark Rosa.